The third parak focuses initially on the Mizbeach. We'll have a number of Mishnayos talking about the construction of the Mizbeach and the details around the Mizbeach. And then we'll also talk about there afterward, the northern area north of the Mizbeach. And we'll also talk about the Kiyor and the Ulam and the Heichal all in this parak. So let's just give an initial introduction to the Mizbeach. A little bit complicated, and we'll be talking a lot about measurements. We do not need calculus for this, but we do need some addition and subtraction. So on a high level, the formation of the Mizbeach was made in three parts. The height total of the Mizbeach was 10 amas tall, but the width of it going upward decreased as you went to different parts of the Mizbeach. And as follows, the base of it, we'll tweak this a little bit in our first Mishnah, but the base of it, let's just assume, was 32 amas by 32 amas squared, and it was 1 amma high. So 32 by 32, 1 amma high. That was called the yasod, literally the base of the Mizbeach. So that's going to be the level number one. That's going to be the largest area-wise because it's 32 by 32. And there's an indentation at the top of that yasod. It indents 1 amma, and then starts what we call the soviv area. It's another 5 amos high, but instead of being 32 by 32, because we have a 1 amma indentation over the yasod, and that's on all sides, so that's going to be 30 by 30. So the soviv area was 30 by 30. That's on both sides, and then 5 amos high. And then we have another one area, one amma indentation around it. So that is literally the sovev. That is where Kohanim could walk around the ledge. There was a ledge all around, and there was some of the avodas that were done around that ledge as well. So that's the second area. And then if we go up one more level, the top level of the Mizbeach, because the soviv had an indentation around of one amma, if you have one amma on each side, so you're going to go down from 30 by 30 to 28 by 28. That is going to be the top level of Mizbeach. And on top of that, in fact, because that top level was 3 amas tall. So if we add up what we've seen so far, the yasod was 1 amma tall, and the soviv area, the middle area, was 5 amas tall height. That's now 6, and the top level is the number 3. That's a total of 9. On each of the corners of that top level, there was what's called the kranot, a keren, literally a horn, but it was like a block that stuck out. It was 1 amma by 1 amma by 1 amma, and because of that, the entire Mizbeach was 10 amas high from the bottom of the yasod to the top of the keren. That was 10 amas total. Now, if we just focus on the top level, we said that because we had multiple indentations going up, so we had 1 amma indenting at the yasod area. So at the top of the yasod, 1 amma indentation. At the top of the sovev, we had another amma. Now that's on both sides, so that's really 2 ammas and 2 ammas. And then when we get to the top level as well, we have an indentation for the areas of the kranot that was on the corners. So that's a third indentation. And around the top of the Mizbeach on the outside, not on the way outside, but 1 amma in, we have another area that was a path for the Kohanim to walk. So that's a fourth indentation. So because we have 4 indentations going up, each one is 1 amma, but it's on each side of the Mizbeach, we have now indented a total of 8 ammas while we are going up. So that leaves for the top of the Mizbeach, where the Ma'aracha, where the fire was, is 32 minus 8. 32 by 32 is the base, and because we've indented a total of 8 ammas, that's 4 times we've indented 1, and on both sides it's a total of 8, that means the Ma'aracha, the area for the fire on the top, is going to be 32 minus 8. It's going to be 24 by 24 on the top of the Mizbeach. So that's all by way of introduction, but we'll see a lot of that in our first Mishnah. Mishnah Aleph says as follows. We're going to talk again, starting at the base of the Mizbeach, the Yesod, and then we'll go up to the Soviv, and we'll go up to the top with those indentations. So HaMizbeach, HaYashloshim Ushtayim, HaShloshim Ushtayim. The Mizbeach was at the base, at the Yesod level, 32 by 32, and it went up a height of ala amma vikanasama. It was 1 amma high, and then it indented 1 amma. Now that's on both sides. We have that indentation. Zeha yasod, and this is the base of the Mizbeach. So that's part number one of the Mizbeach, 32 by 32. and it was one amma high, and we have a one amma indentation at the top, and then nimsa shloshim al shloshim, it turns out then that the next level up is going to be 30 by 30, because we indented one amma and one amma, so two ammas total. So now we're, instead of 32 by 32, we're 30 by 30, and in fact, it was 30 by 30, as we talked about before, this is the Sovav level, it went up five amas, a height of five, ala chamesh, it went up five amas, a height, and at the top of the Sovav, again, we have another indentation of one amma on each of the sides, zeh ha-Sovav, this is the ledge, this is called the Sovav, that's the second area, now we're going up to the top area of the Mizbeach Nimtza now, because we've indented twice, two amas each time, so we started at 32, we went down 32 to 32, we went down to 30 by 30, and now the top level, we're going to go down again to 28 by 28. Nimtza, after all the indentations, we have Esri Mushmona, Al Esri Mushmona, the top level right now is 28 by 28, and also we are now going to have an additional two indentations, Mekoma Kronos, Amma Mizeva, Amma Mizeh. We have the Kronos going on all four sides, so we're going to indent another Amma on each side of the Mizbeach. Nimtza Esri Mishesh, Al Esri Mishesh, because we have the third indentation now, we have a total of 26 by 26. We started at 32. We had three indentations, and each of them was an amma, but on each side, so it's a total of six. So 32 at the base minus six. Now we're at 26. Mekom Hiluch Raglea Kohanim. This is going to be the fourth indentation where the Kohanim would walk around the path at the top of the Mizbeach. Amma Mizeh, Amma Mizeh. And Amma on this side, and Amma on that side. Accordingly, Nimtza Esrim Va'arba, Al Esrim Va'arba, Mekom Amaracha, were left. The place of the fire in the Mizbeach is 24 Amas by 24 Amas. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is going to tell us that, in fact, these were the measurements for the Bayis Sheni, but for the first Bayis, the Bayis Rishon, being built by Shlomo HaMelech, the Mizbeach was a little bit smaller. Mitchilo Lohaya El Shmone Ve'Esrim Al Shmone Ve'Esrim. Initially, during the Bayis Rishon, the base, which was 32 by 32 in our Mishnah, that's talking about Bayis Sheni. In Bayis Rishon, it wasn't 32 by 32, but it's 28 by 28, so that's four amas less. Konis ve'ola b'mida zo, but after the 28 by 28, it increased as the same amounts with the same indentations. We talked about the four different indentations. Each was an amma on both sides of the Mizbeach. So it, accordingly, it was eight that decreased going up, indented a total of eight amas. Konis ve'ola b'mida zo, ad shenimtza mokom amracha, esrim. Accordingly, the top during the Bayis Rishon, less eight, we started at 28 on the bottom, indentations of eight is going to be 20 by 20 place for the fire. So that is the difference between the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni started 32 by 32 and went up the place for the fire, but 24 by 24, because we have eight total amas of indentation. And when it came to the Bayis Rishon, it started at 28, less eight indentations. It ended up with 20 by 20 at the top of the Mizbeach, where the location of the fire. Ukishalu b'nei Agola, now we go on to say that what happened with the change from Bayis Rishon to Bayis Sheni, when people came back from the Golos Bavel, between the destruction of the first temple and the building of the second temple. So Kishalu b'nei Agola, when they came back, Hosifu alav arba amas min adoram, va'arba amas min hamarav, they added on to the Mizbeach four amas on the southern side, four amas on the western side. They added it kamin gama, like an upside down L, so that was like an L. They added on two sides, not all four sides, four amas and four amas added on. So originally the Yesod for Bayis Rishon was 28 by 28, now it is 32 by 32, and this is based on a pasuk shenemar in Yecheskel in his description of both the Bayis Sheni and the Mirtz Hashem b'meira b'yameinu, the Bayis Shlishi v'Ariel, that's talking about the Mizbeach. The top of the Mizbeach is the term ha'Ariel, 12 orech b'12 rochev ravua, was 12 in length and 12 in width, talking about amma squared. How is that possible? We said it has to be 24 at the top, not 12 by 12 at the top, but 24 by 24. So Yachol She'enu El Shtemesra, El Shtemesra Esra. Is it possible that it was only 12 by 12 at the top? No, that's not what we're saying. Kishu Omer, you have to look at the rest of the pasuk. El Arbas Reva'a, for the four, it's four quarters. So in other words, each of the quarters was 12 by 12 for a total of 24. So Malamed Shemin Ha'emtza Hu Modet 12 Amala Kol Ruach. When you're at the middle of Mizbeach and you measure in any of the directions, you're going to be measuring 12 in this direction, 12 in that direction, 12 in each of the directions. But when you're measuring side to side, it's going to be 24 by 24. So that is our description of the main structure of the Mizbeach. Now we're going to add on as follows that in the middle of the Mizbeach, we said it's 10 amos high. So the chut shall sikra chogro be'emtza, right in the middle, 5 amos up, there was the chut hasikra. Here it's called the chut shall sikra, it's called the chut hasikra. That is a line of red paint. Chogro be'emtza went all the way around it. If it's 5 amos up, and we said that the yesod is 1 ama, the yesod is 1 ama, and we said that the sovev is another 5 amos, a total of 6. So right in the middle, 5 amos up, is 1 amma below the top of the sovev. So the sovev, the ledge around, that was 6 amos from the ground, and the chut hasikra is 5 amos from the ground, right in the middle. Why did they have this red painted line around it? L'havdil ben adamim al-yonim l'adamim al-tachtonim, because when it came to doing the zrika of various karbanos in the base of Mikdash, the vast majority of the karbanos, the zrika was done below this line. That's damim hatachtoni, but there were some karbanos that the zrika of the blood had to be above the line, and accordingly they had this line painted there to show the kohanim where they had to do the zrika. Most of the time it would be under the chuta zrika, and sometimes it would be above. And now we're going to tweak what we said before. We said that the yesod is 32 by 32. That's not exactly correct all the way around. It's accurate on two of the sides, but not all four of the sides. Vayesod hayamahalech al pnei kol hatzofon val pnei kol amarav. When it came to having 32 length, 32 width, that is talking about on the northern side and the western side. That's where you had the extra amma jutting out. So that's where we had the yesod that really stuck out on the northern side, was from going from east to west, which is the northern side, was 32 ammas. And on the western side, going from north to south, that's on the western side, was 32 ammas. But the other two sides were really 31 ammas for the most part. So just tweak that a little bit again. We're tweaking the tweak. The ochel bedorim ama achas ubemizrach ama achas. So it went like this, that extra ama that jutted out, that was on the entire northern side and the entire western side, but also there was another ama that continued. So if we're thinking about this, is that upside down capital L that we're talking about, it actually continued when you go on the northern side, going from west to east, it continued one ama onto the eastern side. And in addition, when we're talking about the 32 ammas, that extra amma that jutted out on the western side, it went all the way from the north to south, 32 ammas. And when it got to wrap around the bottom of the Mizbeach on the southern side, it continued for another amma. So we have an upside down capital L with a little lip on each side of it, continuing that amma. So we had that amma, 32 ammas sticking around, that one amma jutting out on the north side, on the west side. And it continued a little bit, one amma onto the east side and one amma as well onto the southern side. Mishnah Beis is going to pinpoint a specific area on the Yesod, that's the base of the Mizbeach that we were just talking about in the prior Mishnah. We saw that the entire western side of the base has a lip coming out, an amma, not only the western side but the northern side as well. The one on that western side continued and it went onto the southern side as well for an amma. So we're focusing now on the southwestern corner of the Yesod of the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah is going to tell us there were actually two holes, one on the southern side of that corner, one on the western side of the corner, that the excess blood that was not used in the zrika of the various korbanos would be poured into those holes. So the Mishnah Beis says as follows, Uve keren ma'aravit romit hayushnei nekavim. On that corner, the southwestern corner of the Yesod, the base of the Mizbeach, had two holes there, kamin shnei chatamim dakim. They were like two thin nostrils, one side by side. Shadamim hanitanim al yisod ma'aravi vayisod romi yordin bahem umis arvim ba'amad. The blood that was put there, some of the korbanos had the blood put on the western side, some of other korbanos had the excess blood put on the southern side. They would go down through those holes and they would meet up with what was called the Amma, which was a stream that ran through the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, v'yotzim l'nachal Kidron, and that blood would be taken out to the Nachal Kidron, and that was on the eastern side of Yerushalayim. Let's just look in the Bar Tanura to get a little bit more detail. Yordim, derech oson nekavim, so when the blood was poured into those holes, the respective holes as was necessary, depending on the type of the korban, umis arvim ba'amas hamayim shaba azara, and they would mix together when they went all the way down in the ama, which was a little stream that was in the azara, misham yotzim la'nachal kidron, and went out there to the nachal kidron, ubalei ganos hayukonim osamin amikizbarim, the people would purchase, the people who had fields would buy that water that had the blood in it as fertilizer. They were not allowed to take it without purchasing it because that was taking an asset owned by the Beis HaMikdash, and they would use it as fertilizer for their land in order to have wonderful crops grow. Mishnah Gimel continues on the same southwest corner of the Yesod, of the base of the Mizbeach, and we're actually going to go from on top of that Yesod where we had the two holes to right there in the floor of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Gimel says as follows, L'mata b'rizpa b'oso akeren, down there on the floor of the courtyard, right by that same southwestern corner, Makom Hayasham Ama al Ama, there was a one-by-one Ama area, V'tavla shalshayis, and there was a tile on it, a tile made of marble, and it was empty underneath. There was a passageway, as we'll explain shortly, in order to remove that tavla, that tile, v'tabas haisak fuba, it had a ring that was stuck in, and you used the ring to lift up that marble tile, shebo yordim lashis uminakim oso, and they would use that passageway to go down to what's called the shis. It was actually a pit in the courtyard underneath in the Beis HaMikdash. And what was down there was when they had a nisuch hayayin and nisuch hamayim, the libations of water and wine on the Mizbeach, it would run down into that area called the Shis, and it would congeal and collect there, and on various occasions, umenakino, so they would go down and clean it out, not so much from the water congealing, but from the wine congealing there, and they had to empty it out to make space for future libations to go down there. So that was right at that southwestern corner as well. And now, as long as we are discussing the Mizbeach, and we'll actually focus again on the western side, v'kevesh ha'isa l'rudroma shal Mizbeach, let's talk about the kevesh initially. That was the ramp to go up to the Mizbeach, so there was quite a long ramp to go. It was located on the southern side of the Mizbeach, and its dimensions as follows, shloshim ushtayim, the length was 32 amas, quite long, al rochav sheshesre, and it was a width of 16. And what we really want to focus on, now that we were talking about the southwestern corner there of the base, we're going to talk about something on the Mizbeach as well, on the ramp of the Mizbeach, urevuva haisa shalo b'maravo, as we're talking about the kevish, that ramp there on the western side of the ramp was what is a revuva, that is an opening. It's kind of like a window, and it was on the western side. Shishama yunosnim psule chatasov. There they would, when they had a chatasov, that was one of the types of korbanos, was a bird offering as a korban chata. Sometimes it would have a psul, and they could not burn it right then. There were certain types of psulim when doing the korbanos that you would burn immediately, and some you had to wait until the next day, and it would become nifsal, bilina, which means when it went overnight, it would become disqualified, and the psulim that they had from this chatas ha'of, when you had the bird offering, a chatas that was an offering from an of, a bird, and you had specific psulim, they left it in that area, that revuva, that indentation in the Mizbeach on the western side. Why there? Because the chatas ha'of birds were actually slaughtered on the southwestern side of the Mizbeach. So it was close proximity, and they would put it in that area overnight, and then they would be able to burn those psulim the next day. Mishnah Daled discusses what stones were to be used for both the Mizbeach itself and the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach. Mishnah Daled says as follows, Echad Avnei HaKevesh ve'Echad Avnei HaMizbeach. This applies both to the stones for the ramp and also the stones for the Mizbeach. Mebikas Beis Kerem. They were taken from the Valley of Beis Kerem. That was a specific place that they had smooth stones, which was necessary for the building of the Mizbeach, and accordingly, that was the location that they quarried the stones from. V'chofrin l'mata ma'abesula, and in order to get to those stones, they would dig underneath the untouched soil, so they did not use an area that had been planted or plowed, they found an unused area, untouched soil, and dug underneath. Umivin misham avanim shlemos, and they took from there, they quarried smooth stones with no cracks in it. Shalohu naf ale and barzel, and a very important requirement based on a pasuk in the Torah is that they had to take stones that had never been touched by iron. Shabarzel posel benegia, because the barzel, which is iron, and we'll explain the reason for this at the end of the Mishnah, would invalidate, would disqualify any stones that it would touch. So if you had an iron, a tool made of iron, that could not be used. And if it touched one of the stones, it would invalidate that stone. Upegima bechol davar. There's different girsas on this, but upegima, when we're talking about if it got nicked, if one of the stones got nicked, it doesn't matter what it was nicked from. It would be bechol davar, whether it was from something that's iron or non-iron. As long as one of the stones were nicked, it would be disqualified from use in the mizbeach and the kevesh and the ramp as well. Nifgama achas mehem. So what happens once you built the mizbeach already and then one of the stones becomes nicked, becomes cracked or something like that, heap sulav kulang sheras, that would not invalidate the entire mizbeach. It would be that specific stone that became invalidated, but the rest of them would be kosher. Accordingly, just that stone would have to be removed and replaced. Umilabnin osan pamayim bashana. So what used to happen is that the stones used to get very dirty over time, maybe not even over time, on a daily basis, full of blood and the like. Accordingly, there was maintenance, and there was annual maintenance, actually twice annual maintenance of the Mizbeach, and as well weekly maintenance, as we'll see shortly, to clean things up. Umilabnin osan pamayim bashana. That means that they applied white cast plaster onto the walls and the top of the Mizbeach twice a year. When was that? Achas bePesach, achas bChag. Basically, every half a year. One time before Pesach, so one of the times they did it, the application of the plaster before Pesach, and before Sukkot, those were the two times that they applied new, fresh plaster onto the walls on the top of the Mizbeach. And in addition, v'ahechal, outside the Hechal also, they would plaster as well, Pam Achas b'Pesach. One time, that was at the time of Pesach, before Pesach, the Hechal didn't need as much maintenance because it didn't have all the blood and the touching by the Kohanim and usage by the Kohanim. So that was only once a year as opposed to the Mizbeach. That was twice a year. Rabbi Omer, Kol Erev Shabbos Milabni Nosoa B'Mapam Ipnei Hadamim. Rabbi tells us about the weekly maintenance. It was every Erev Shabbos, so in preparation for Shabbos, they would milabnin. They would clean it off with a wet cloth because of all the blood that would collect there throughout the week. So once a week cleaning as well. So there we have it when it comes to the Mizbeach. We had twice a year replastering, and once every week there was cleaning it off with a wet cloth. And now we're going to get back to what the Tanakhama was talking about before, the plastering of the Mizbeach. Lo yusadin osam bekapis shel barzel. They would not plaster it with a tool called a trowel that was made of iron. That was in case, although you're plastering with it, hopefully not touching the stones, but in case that tool would touch the stones underneath and disqualify them, accordingly, don't use a tool made of iron. They would actually use a trowel that was of wood. Shema yigav yipsol, and the concern was because maybe the stone would get touched by the iron tool. Don't use it. And what's the big problem with using iron tools and touching and cutting the stones with anything that's made of iron? So the Mishnah tells us, Shaparzel Nivra Lekatzer Yamav Shaladam. The reason that iron, metal was created was to shorten people's lives. In other words, it's used for making weapons of war. And accordingly, metal is something that shortened lives. Bamizbeach Nivra Laharich Yamav Shaladam. And when it comes to the Mizbeach, it was created to lengthen the life of people. What does that mean? Because it acts as a kapora, for example. When somebody sins and they bring a korban and they expunge the sin, that will enable them to live longer. Accordingly, when you have something that shortens lives and something that lengthens lives, ein obedin shiunaf hamekatzer al amarecha, would be improper, it would not make sense to have the thing that mekatzer, that shortens life, be lifted and used on the thing that lengthens life. So accordingly, we want to keep the iron, the metal, away from the Mizbeach, that is the Ma'arich, that lengthens life, and we want to not even touch it with the Mekatzer, with the item that shortens life. Mishnah moves us to the northern side of the Mizbeach and tells us that there were 24 rings that were embedded in the floor of the Chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash into the floor of the courtyard. And what those clasps did was that they were used to hold the animals when the Shechita was being done to assist in the Shechita. So it's actually a machlokis in the Mephoreshim, whether those clasps were open and closed around the neck of the animal to hold the animal still or to hold the feet of the animal. Be that as it may, the concept is that we have these rings to hold the animal still to assist in the Shechita. 24 rings were located there, one for each Mishmar. So the Mishmaros used to work, the Kohanim, 1 week in a row. Each had its own week for cycles of 24 weeks. So each Mishmar had its own designated ring that it would use when it was having its Mishmar in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah says as follows, V'tabaos hayu litzvono shel Mizbeach. There were these rings that were on the northern side of the Mizbeach. Shisha starim shel arba arba. There were 6 rows by 4, so a total of 24. And we're going to see a different opinion that it was 4 by 6 as opposed to 6 by 4, which means that do we have 6 of these rings next to the Mizbeach on the northern side of the Mizbeach? So do we have 6 by 4, or do we have 4 next to the northern side of the Mizbeach? And that would be by 4 by 6. So let's read it inside again. There were 6 rows by 4. And there's their opinion that it was 4 by 6 instead. And the function of those rings was that they facilitated shechting of the animals that were shechted in the northern area of the Mizbeach. Beis HaMitbachayim Hayal Litzvonu Shel Mizbeach. In addition, next to that, after the Shechita was done, they would carve up the animals. So that was in the Beis HaMitbachayim, the butchering area. And that was also on the northern side of the Mizbeach. Va'alav Shmona Amudim Nanasim. In that area, there were actually 8 different pillars. They were short pillars, and they were structured in a way what we would use those pillars for is to skin the animal and also to carve up the animal. So it says as follows, on top of each of those 8 amudim, those 8 pillars, reviv'in shel erez al-gabe, and there was a block of cedar, a very heavy block of cedar, on the top of each of them, v'unkolio shel barzel hayukfuim ben, and each of the blocks of the cedar, they had a number of iron hooks implanted in them, embedded in them. In fact, it was 3 rows. What's going on here is that the blocks of wood, they had from higher up to lower down, they had 3 rows of these hooks. And the functions were that they would hang the animal, shebahen toling, the back legs of the animal, so it was head down. So the back side of the animal, the legs, the back legs were at the top, tied on to these hooks. And the head would lie on a table, and what they would do was that they would skin the animals on the table that was next to it. There were each of these amudim, each of these pillars had a table next to it made of marble. Now what's going on here is that they used to have these different rows at different heights, these hooks, and that would be based on the size of the animal. So the animal was longer, then they would use the higher up hooks. If it was a smaller animal, the lower one. And why did they used to have the table underneath? They didn't want the head of the korban to drag on the floor. That would be a disgrace to the korban, to the animal. Accordingly, that had the table next to the amud, and they would hang the back of the animal, from the back legs downward, and again the head was on the table, and that's what they would use in this area to skin the animals and also carve the animals up. Mishnah Vav starts fairly simple and then gets fairly complicated and technical. We are initially going to talk about the location of the kior. The kior was the vessel that was full of water, made of copper, that the Kohanim would wash their hands and their feet before doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says as follows, HaKiyor, Haya Bein HaUlam al-Mizbeach. The Kiyor was located between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was on the eastern side. The Ulam was on the western side, as we'll see shortly. There were 22 Amas between them. And it's telling us now that the Kiyor was located between them, but that's not literally between them. It was Umashu Klapei Hadarim. It was actually to the south of that area. Now we're going to get to the technical part, and we're going to talk about Bein Ha'ulam Vela Mizbeach Shtayim Ve'esrim Amah. There are 22 Amas between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Ulam is the front part of the Heichal. It was like a massive antechamber to get to the Heichal, and we're now talking about the Beis HaMikdash complex, getting onto the holier areas of the Beis HaMikdash, the Ulam, the Heichal, the Kodesh, Kodshei Kodashim. So it says as follows, that there were 22 Amas going east to west between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and in that area was primarily steps that went up from the lower area at the Mizbeach to the higher area, the Ulam, Ushtemesra Ma'alos Ayusham. There were 12 steps there, and each of the steps was one half an amma in height. So if we have 12 steps, and each is half an amma height, it's a total of 6 ammas in height that somebody would go up when going up the steps from the Mizbeach, going up to the Ulam. Now what we're going to see in this Mishnah is an important machlokes between the Tanakama, Chachamim, and Rabbi Yehuda at the end, from where did the steps start going up? So there was a gap between the Mizbeach and the beginning of the steps, and the sheet of the Tanakhama is that it was 3 amos gap, that there was a 3 amos there before the steps started going up, and accordingly the steps went up for 19 amos until it reached the Ulam, and according to Rabbi Yehuda there was only a gap of 2 amos, not 3 amos, 2 amos before the steps started going up, and accordingly the steps made up of 20 amos instead of 19 amos, 20 amos, till it got to the Ulam. So as follows, we will get to that machlokes shortly, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, we said there are 12 steps, and there are 22 amos going east to west between them, and that was populated primarily by 12 steps, and now we are going to divide up those 12 steps into three sets of steps, and what we'll see is that there are going to be smaller steps. Each of the smaller steps is going to be one amma at the top, so we'll call that the width of the step. That's the top of the step, one amma, the smaller steps. And the larger steps, there's going to be a larger step at the end of each of the sets, will be more than that. For example, 3 amma. So let's start with the first set, and we'll get a hang of how this is going to work. So it's as follows. Set number 1, room ma'ala chetzi amma. This is the same with all the steps. It was a height of half an amma. We're going to put the heights aside for this Mishnah. We're going to focus on the tops of the steps. Bishilcha amma. The top of that first step was 1 amma. And in addition, it wasn't only one smaller step in that first set of steps, but it was also amma, amma, another 2 smaller steps, for a total of 3 small steps. Each of them is 1 amma across, so that's a total of 3 ammas, 3 steps, 3 ammas. And to end off the first set of steps, verovet shalosh, and the last of them was a landing. It was also a step, but it was much larger. It was 3 ammas in width. So what we have so far in the first step, in the first set of steps, is we have 3 smaller ones, each 1 amma at the top. Each is an amma in width. And then the last of the steps, that's the fourth step, is 3 ammas at the height, across it, the width. So that's a total of 6 ammas so far accounted for as we're going from east to west. So that's the first set of steps. That accounts for 6 ammas so far. And the next set of steps, set number 2, va'amma, amma v'roved shalosh. This one only had 2 smaller steps. Each was an amma across, and the roved, the landing of it, that's the larger step, was another 3. So here in the second set of steps, we have a total of 5 ammas. Again, the first set had 6 ammas, the second set had 5 ammas. So we have now have accounted for 11 of the ammas so far. And we're now in the sheet of Tanakhama. The Tanakhama, as mentioned, started the steps from 3 ammas away from the Mizbeach. So that was 3 ammas away from the Mizbeach. And then the first set of steps had 6 ammas more going across. And the second set had another 5. So we are now at a total of 14 amma so far, and now we're getting to the third step. El Yona amma amma v'roved arba. So the third set of steps, it actually had 4 smaller steps. Each was an amma, so really could say here, Valyona amma, 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 so 4 smaller steps. Each of them was an amma, and the rovid, that landing, was another 4. So in that top set of steps, that's the third set, we have 4 smaller steps. Those, each of these is an amma, that's 4 ammas. And then the landing area was another 4, that's 8. And we said before that we had accounted for 14 amas so far. And let's just go through it again. We had starting 3 amas away from the Mizbeach. And then the first set had 6 amas, second set had 5 amas, the third set has 8 amas. So that is a total of 22 amas, and that is indeed the distance between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, as we mentioned, Rabbi Yehuda Meir, he disagrees. He said that we start 2 amas, not 3 amas, away from the Mizbeach for the steps to start rising. And accordingly, he has an extra ama. So how is he going to account for the extra ama? He agrees with everything else, that the structure of the steps, we have 12 steps, and they each go up a half an ama, and the number of steps. But the difference is when you get to the top landing, it's the third step, the last one, the last step, the landing, he gives that another ama. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer HaElyona, ama ama, that third step, yes, I agree, there were 4 smaller steps in the third set, ama ama ama, 4 of them. Verovet, however, the landing area was not 4 amas, Chamesh, it was 5 amas, so we have that extra ama that Rabbi Yehuda took away from the base, from the beginning of the steps, because he started only 2 amas away from the Mizbeach. He's moving that ama to the top step and makes it, instead of 4, he makes that 5 amas. Mishnah Zayin discusses the entrance into the Ulam, and this entranceway differs in 2 major respects from all other doorways in the base of Mikdash. Number 1 is that it was much larger, as we'll see the dimension shortly in our Mishnah. And number 2, it didn't have any doors on it, as did all the other doorways in the base of Mikdash, but it had a beautiful decorative curtain on it. Mishnah Zayin says as follows, Pischo shel ulam gavo arba'imama, the entranceway to get into the ulam, it had a height of 40 amos, incredibly high, virachbo esrim ama, and width-wise, it was 20 amos across, and on top of it, mechamesh meltaros shel melas hayu al gabav, there were 5 decorative wood beams, melas is oak, so it was made of oak wood, each of them on top of the entrance. And it worked as follows, that each of those beams got successively wider. So if we have the entrance of the Ulam at 20 amas, the first beam above it was 22 amas, and above it was 24 amas, 26 amas, so all the way up to 30 amas. So what's going on here is that it was wider by 2 amas in total, 1 ama on each side of the beam. So as follows, HaTachtona, the lowest one, that's the one right on top of the door, Odefes al HaPesach, ama mizeh v'ama mizeh, it was in excess, it was wider than the entrance to the door, the width of the door was 20 amas, and it had an additional 1 ama on each side of the door, for a total of 22 amas, and shelamala mimeno odefes al ama mizeh v'ama mizeh, and the one on top of that, that's the second wood beam up, had an additional ama on each side for a total of 24 amas, and etc. for all 5 of them. Nimtzeis ha'elyona shloshim ama. Turns out that the top one was 30 amas wide, and between the beams, it wasn't empty space. They weren't right on top of each other, but rather there was nidbach shel avanim hayubein kol achas v'achas. Between each of the beams was a row, a beautified row of stones. The stones were decorative between each of those beams in order to beautify the entrance into the ulam of the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Ches discusses one of the challenges of the architecture, of the structure of the ulam, in that the Ulam and the Heichal, they were unbelievably tall. Each of them was almost 100 amas tall. Now, the Heichal itself had a strong ceiling, and that was able to support the walls of the Heichal. But the Ulam, which was adjacent, it did not have a strong roof on top of it. And accordingly, they need to place beams from the wall of the Heichal that was stronger to support the wall of the Ulam, which did not have the support of a ceiling. So they ran these beams from the eastern wall of the Heichal to the eastern wall of the Ulam towards the top of the ceiling or in the middle in order to support it. So Mishnah Ches says as follows, Klunasos beam shall eres of cedar ayukivui mikotlo shall Heichal. They were set in from the eastern wall of the Heichal lekotlo shall Ulam to support the eastern wall of the Ulam kadesh lo yibat, in order for that wall to not cave in, literally to not to buckle, to not to kick, to not collapse. That was necessary for the support. And now we're going to talk about various additional items in the ulam. V'sharsharos shel zahav hayu kvuin b'tikras ha'ulam. In addition, in the ceiling of the ulam, there were golden chains that were hung down from the roof almost all the way down to the floor that was used. Shebahem pirchei kohuna olim vorim et ha'ataros. That was for the pirchei kohuna, the younger kohanim, to go and climb up those gold chains and to see the crowns. What are the crowns? So this is talked about in the Navi of Zechariah, that there were donors that donated gold and silver for two crowns, and those were placed in the Heichal. So they would crawl up, they would climb up those gold chains in order to be able to see where those crowns were, to see if they needed cleaning, to be fixed, and the like. So Shene'emar, as it says in the Pasuk in Zechariah, V'ataros, and the crowns, Tiyeh Lechelem. These are the donors, the names of the donors, Lechelem, Ulatovya, Ulidaya, Ulechein, Ben Tzfanya, all of those, Lezikaron, we should remember, a remembrance, Beheichal Hashem. Those two crowns would be placed in the Heichal Hashem, and accordingly, they would climb up those golden chains that were hanging from the ceiling of the ulam in order to see the crowns. And now another thing that was there, Gefen Shel Zahav, there was a grapevine made of gold, Haisa Omedes Al Pischo Shel Heichal, that was at the entrance into the Heichal, Umudla Agabe Klunasos, and it was hung over on wooden beams, Kol Mishu Misnadev Ale or Gagir or Eshkol, anyone who wanted to donate gold in order for it to be used as a leaf on the grapevine or a grape, Gargir is a grape, or Eshkol, a cluster of grapes, because they wanted their donation to be in the Heichal or near the Heichal, outside the Heichal in the entranceway. Mevi Vesoleba, he would give it, he would be donating that gold, and it would be hung up. And so many people donated gold for this purpose. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok, Masehaya Veninu Ala Shlosh Milas Kohanim. There was a time that they had to move it for whatever reason, and they needed 300 Kohanim to move it because it was so heavy, full of the gold that was donated. Now, that is actually a Guzman exaggeration, Chazal tell us. Literally wasn't 300. Oftentimes when you see the number 300 in Chazal, it's just used to make a statement that a lot of Kohanim were necessary because so much gold had been donated for this purpose.